This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
Well, here we are.
My friends, to the show that never ends.
This is it.
This is The Show.
Come inside, the show's about to start.
Now, Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronji on KMOX.
Wait a minute. Where'd they go? They're not here. What? They must have a day off. Why? What the heck? I think everybody's got a day off. There's hardly anybody anywhere. Welcome to the first edition of the show for 2023 on KMOX. Amy and Chris do have a play day, but I'm sure they'll be back tomorrow. You can put up, I hope, with me today. I'm Johnny Rabbit, your radio guide till 1. I hope you will, too, enjoy our 6 specially selected guests and what they have to say. We'll talk about a St. Louis neighborhood that vanished, much like you might see in a science fiction movie. Vivian Gibson, who witnessed her world disappear and documented it in a book called The Last Children of Mill Creek, is going to appear here in a couple of moments. How long is a moment, Vivian? What is a moment?
Less than a minute.
Okay, well, I better hurry up. At 10:30, Steve and Lisa St. Pierre will tell the tale of a still little-known restaurant called the Have a Cow Cattle Company. Coincidentally, it's on Lafayette, just a little bit south of Mill Creek. Their philosophy is, love your enemy. You'll enjoy the story and the place itself, I know. At 11, it's a visit with St. Louis Queen of Cuisine, Suzanne Corbett, who wrote such books as Unique Eats and Eateries of St. Louis, for which I did the introduction, and The Gilded Table, about food history in the 19th century in St. Louis, centered at the Campbell House Museum. We'll look into the dining habits of the past and what's going to happen in the future. Next at 11:30, a cavalcade of sports with St. Louis's top sports authority, Ed Wheatley, to talk about teams, managers, owners, sports writers, and broadcasters from over the years, and the St. Louis Browns fan club that continues to grow. And Ed will tell about his latest book, coming out soon, for kids, about the Cardinals and about the Sports Hall of Fame luncheon at the MAC in March. At noon, we won't play Where's Waldo, but we will play Where's John Brown? We saw him day in and day out for years, over a couple of stints at KTVI Channel 2, and his St. Louis and Missouri-themed books are actually big sellers, but he's not here anymore, except for today in the show in KMOX. We'll let him tell the story where he is and what he's doing, and I know he's going to talk about life in St. Louis and what the future may bring. Then at 12:30, stop the presses for true crime stories of the past in St. Louis, as reported in the Post-Dispatch by our guest Tim O'Neill, who even wrote a book about it called Mobs, Mayhem, and Murder, Tales from the St. Louis Police Beat. You think we got a lot of crime today? Well, we do, but it's nothing new. And he will be wearing a mask, of course, not a COVID mask, but a witness protection mask. As the announcer used to say in the opening in the transcribed Mysterious Traveler radio program of long ago in the Mutual Broadcasting System heard in St. Louis and KWK, we hope our show today will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So we welcome Vivian Gibson. Here she is. Welcome, Vivian Gibson. You look great. You're in good spirits, aren't you?
I am definitely in good spirits. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Our first guest of the new year. Think of that. I want you to tell us, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but what life was like in a neighborhood called Mill Creek or the Mill Creek Valley, which was, what, 454 or something acres?
About 460 of the demolished section of it.
Uh-huh. Almost everything was demolished.
Just about everything was demolished. There is some dispute about exactly what the boundaries were.
Yep.
So that's why I clarified that way.
So what in your opinion, you live there, you're a part of Mill Creek.
Yes.
You're still part of Mill Creek. You're right in Mill Creek right now where you live.
I'm very close. I'm very close to the train tracks that I heard trains on in the middle of the night as a child, and I still hear them in the middle of the night. I live right next to the train
That's
tracks.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, then you get to relive your childhood.
Yeah, it's a wonderful memory. It's my white noise.
Yep, I guess it would be. Now, what about the book? I've got the book right here, and I've told so many people about this book, The Last Children of Mill Creek. Now, this came out a couple years ago?
Came out in April of 2020, and it's still going strong.
So you did a reprint, and now?
I did a reprint, and I'm about to do a second reprint.
And it's available, you know, at all self-respecting bookstores. And there are a lot more. You know, there are a lot more people selling books today than if this were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of stores close. A lot of people say, books are passe. They're not going to be read anymore. But you know, in reading, if you have not read this book, and I hope you do get it, The Last Children of Mill Creek, it's a story that could easily be made into a movie.
I hope so.
Do you think there's a possibility? Have you looked into it? Has anybody contacted you?
No one's contacted me. I hope if we keep talking about it like we are today that somebody will. I hear that so frequently. Even my brother says, when it's a movie, I want Denzel Washington to play my role.
Oh, that's funny. It's your family's name is?
My family's name was Ross.
R-O-S-S.
R-O-S-S, the Ross family.
And there is an exhibition at the History Museum?
Named the Ross family. It's been at the History Museum for just about 20 years now.
Wow.
I'm shocked because a permanent exhibit is really expected to be about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've renewed it three times because it's still very, very popular. And it's a composite of our three-room home in Mill Creek where 10 of us lived in three rooms.
Now, was this a single-family dwelling?
It was a two-family dwelling. My grandmother owned the house, but she lived on the second floor in two rooms, and she rented out her front room to a roomer. That's what we called boarders in those days were roomers. And my family, my parents, and eight children lived on the first level, and sometimes in the basement.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yep.
Yes.
And these, what was the age of the house in which
the house was probably built in the 1880s, around that time. So those homes were built without a lot of indoor plumbing, certainly no bathrooms. Sometimes they were jerry-rigged to put commodes under the basement stairs or the second floor stairs, which was the case for us. But many people still had outhouses. In 1959, when they demolished it, there were still people in St. Louis downtown with outhouses.
That is amazing to think about. It really
is.
It's
not that far away.
No, not and geographically from where we are in the history, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about the acreage, but let's talk about the people. How many people were displaced? I mean, basically everybody was displaced.
Everybody in that 460 acres was displaced except for four buildings, none of them residents, most of them the four churches, a couple of warehouses, and a high school, which was Vachon High School at the time. But there were 20,000 people who lived in that community and was displaced.
Then displaced. How did it happen? I mean, I know it was so-called urban renewal project,
yes,
which I believe was the largest one in the United States.
That's what Mayor Tucker at the time said. It was the largest urban renewal project. It was certainly one of the first. So if there were mistakes made, we made them first, I'm sure. It was a segregated community and an older community in downtown St. Louis. And so it certainly did have its problems. But a lot of that, those problems were because of neglect of and people being segregated to and relegated to a specific community, which was the case for our family and our neighbors and our community. But within that community, we had that real sense of support and love that is required to nurture these children in that neighborhood, which I'm one of.
Yep, you are. And you walked to school. There were no busing then. You
walked to school. I didn't have a lunch at school until high school.
Oh.
So we walked to school. And again, because it was a segregated community, many of our teachers, our pastors, our doctors, all the professionals lived right there in the community. So we really had role models to even look up to and institutions, the churches and the businesses that... So I'm reluctant to say anything good about segregation, except that we had an opportunity to be exposed and to be hopeful.
And as far as the buildings, the residential buildings, were most of them independently owned, or were there a lot of companies or real estate companies that owned large tracts of property?
I think there were lots of individuals and real estate companies that owned those properties. Black people in those days probably had the lowest level jobs, the lowest pay, and many of them could not afford to purchase homes, even at those prices. There are reports that I've seen out of Washington U's archives of the city that showed that 80% of the residents were owned by whites as opposed to the black people who lived in that neighborhood.
80%.
80%. That's large.
The Washington U archives. How do people access
that? Mayor Tucker's papers. I got
them. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can find those.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
You know, we talked about the acreage, which is pretty hard to picture. But boy, what were the, in your opinion, the geographic boundaries? What was on the west?
Yeah, the most recognized and quoted boundaries were Grand Avenue going east, which is basically St. Louis University. I'm sorry, St. Louis University. If you go to the intersection of Grand and Lindo, you go east, Lindo turns into Olive, and you go as far east as 20th Street, which brings you to just about Union Station. If you go south then to the railroad tracks that runs parallel to Highway 6440 and come back up, you can come up Choteau to Grand again, and you have about 460 acres.
We're going to find out in a couple of minutes from our guest, Virginia Vivian Gibson, The Last Children of Mill Creek, her book. Vivian is going to have some more things to tell us and tell us about the book and things that she is doing. What she doesn't just come on the radio and just talk about the book. She does a lot of other things as well. And we're going to talk more about that on this real-life story that happened right here in St. Louis. And a lot of people are too young now to remember Mill Creek and what might have been there. We'll talk some about that, too. I really recommend tuning in for the last half of our program and getting the book. Where was Mill Creek located? We've covered that. And the name, of course, was for the Mill Creek Valley, for an actual creek, was it not?
It was an actual creek that belonged to August Choteau, and it was... drained because of a cholera epidemic about the middle of the 1800s.
Sure. That's another big story. Well, we'll be right back. This is the show filling in for the normal people who are here. I am Johnny Rabbit. We are on KMOX.
News, talk, sports. The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
And this is Johnny Rabbit. We are here for the show today, and showing us a lot of the past. It's interesting. I can see the past when I talk to Vivian Gibson. I can actually picture the places, picture the buildings, the theaters in Mill Creek. But they're not there. People haven't seen them for years. You want to see a lot of them. I would really recommend, when it reopens sometime this month, the Missouri Historical Society Library and Archives, 225 South Skinker. And I wouldn't recommend just walking in and say, I want to see pictures of Mill Creek, contacting them ahead of time. They've just called a number in the phone book. There aren't phone books anymore, though.
No, there are no phone books anymore. You can go online.
It was funny because Debbie Monterey was doing a segment before about the telephone museum down at the JB area. So Vivian Gibson is here. And the book, you know, we talked about the book going in at the first, the second, now the third printing. So there's a great interest, an interest not just of people who grew up in that period of time, but of other ages as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, the range of readers and the interest. I talk a lot to book clubs and of all ages and all kinds, but I'm really fascinated that teachers and schools and students are really gravitating to the book. John Burroughs School last semester notified me and said that they were going to teach my book over a two-week period to seventh graders.
Wow.
For years, they've taught Raisin in the Sun, and this year they substituted my book, and I just learned that they're going to do it again. So that's very fascinating, and I had a chance to go and talk to those students who read the book, talked about it, analyzed it for over a two-week period, and then had all kinds of assignments and projects that they did based on reading the book. So that's incredible.
That is incredible. That's wonderful.
Yes.
And did some of the projects include coming to the area, do you know?
Or? Well, there's nothing to see, so it's almost like a project to have a virtual tour of the area, which is one of the things that they did. They wrote poems, they wrote stories, they did podcasts, they did migration projects, where they looked at their own families and where their families came from and where they ended up living in St. Louis and that sort of thing. So there are all kinds of projects that students do. I can do. I talk to kids all the time, and this year I'm going to be talking to teachers in St. Louis public schools and training them on how to teach this book. So that's just fascinating.
That's fascinating. You mentioned that they are doing podcasts. Have you done a podcast?
I've not done a podcast. I'm interested in it. I don't know how to do it. I've taught myself a lot about the internet, but certainly not podcasting yet. But who knows?
Right. Who knows? I mean, I don't know how to do a podcast. I would just see a note here I was going to mention later that I am on a podcast. I didn't do it. It was done by KCUR, Public Radio in Kansas City. And the story is, and why they wanted to do this in Kansas City, St. Louis-style pizza, a history of pizza. And it's a long podcast. It's all printed out, and you can hear the whole thing and see the pictures. I don't even know how people find it.
Yeah.
I know this. I can tell you how to find this pizza one. It's go to Hungry for Mo, M-O for Missouri, Hungry for Mo /pizza. And if you want to find out about the history of St. Louis pizza, so, you know, maybe something you can do to embellish the book. Of course, there's no income coming from it. I don't believe there would be, but
from a podcast?
From a podcast.
Who knows? Maybe. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe a sponsor.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've done all kinds of ways of promoting this book that I hadn't imagined when the book was written 3 years ago. I'll promote it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're promoting it right now.
I'm promoting it right now. And
I'm sure you have other places, too.
I am booked through April already. It's incredible. This week, I'm here to kick off 2023, and later this week, I'll be at the Kirkwood Public Library. Oh, and we should mention that I am the Missouri Library Association's Author of the Year, which is also incredible.
That is incredible. That's wonderful. What an honor.
I know.
Kirkwood, when is that going to be?
That's going to be Thursday evening at 6:30 in the evening at the Kirkwood Public Library on South Jefferson in Kirkwood.
So what do you do? What is your show or presentation, and how long is it?
It's usually an hour, including questions and answers. I have a slide presentation.
Oh, good.
Depending on the audience, I adjust the slides to talk about Mill Creek, to talk about the books. Depending on the interest of the group, I might have an urban studies slant. I might have a writing slant to what I present. But certainly, it's a kind of book that has readers of coming from every direction. I just am amazed.
If somebody asks you, Vivian, what about writing a book? I've got a book I want to write. What do you suggest doing?
Write it.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest reading. Reading, you know, I do not have a background in creative writing. I am an avid reader, however, and I think reading books is probably a first start if you want to write a book.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It sounds simplistic, but it does make sense. So I read and then write. Write what you love. Write what you remember. Write what you believe. I think that's what you do. And just get it down and don't worry about editing or anything. Get the information down, get the feeling down, get the tone of what you want to write, and then the rewriting is where the real writing happens.
Yep, and everything has to be rewritten.
Yes.
All the time. You know, I don't know if you noticed, I've got a lot of notes
yes.
here, and how many changes I have made since I've come in.
I understand completely.
we've got a minute or so, but there is a monument, I understand, to Mill Creek.
Yes.
Where is that? How can people see it, and what is it?
Well, we have a new stadium, if for those who don't know, a new soccer stadium on Market and 20th Street, and there is... And Market and 20th Street happens to be right in the center of what was historically Mill Creek Valley. And the St. Louis Soccer, City Soccer Association has brought in a young artist to sculpt the most beautiful monument for Mill Creek Valley. It includes actual outlines of houses and residents that were in the block between 20th and 21st Street. There are 12-foot-high granite pillars with quotes from former residents, and I hope everybody goes to see that. So it's
a
wonderful
idea.
Monument.
It really is. Well, Vivian, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. Hope to see you soon. And come and see her yourself, Kirkwood Public Library, this Thursday, 6:30, about an hour,
yes.
Hour talk. So, now you're going to go back to Mill Creek, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in a way, it's still there.
It's still there. If I'm there, it's there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
This is the show. This is Johnny Rabbit for Amy and Chris and KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
It's men's Billikens basketball Wednesday night as they take on UMass. Catch the action here. Pregame 6:17. Tip at 6:30. On your home for Billikens basketball, KMOX.
It's Johnny Rabbit. We are here at your service on the show on KMOX. Amy and Chris got out a day off. I don't know what they're doing. We'll find out tomorrow, I'm sure. I would imagine Amy is walking somewhere. She's very good at that. We have a cow. Well, not a real cow. It's they have a cow cattle company. Owner, operator, along with his wife Lisa, Steve St-Pierre. And I don't even know how I found your place, but I found it. Somebody talked about it. I thought, have a cow cattle company? What the heck? What is it? Our guest that you were just speaking with, Vivian Gibson, she was there. She said it was lovely. She also liked the brick wall outside in the patio area because it reminded her of all the old buildings. And Well, welcome, first off. You're closed today?
We're open.
You're
today.
Open?
Yeah,
they're there?
I just got a text that we're out of tables. So things have been good. But that means there's a lot of stress on Lisa, who couldn't be here today.
Yeah, I guess not. I had no idea. Well, there's going to be a good day for you then.
I hope so.
The restaurant is located at 2742 Lafayette.
That's right.
What is it, like a block and a half west of Jefferson, south side of
That's
the street?
Right. Yep, west.
Is it a new building?
Yes, we built the building.
Why did you decide on that location?
Yeah, so kind of, I don't know if you know the whole concept of what we're trying to do, but we picked that location due to kind of our underlying theme of being a place where people from all different places in the city can come together, and we would call that this place a no man's land. It's got a wide variety of folks living there. So I live north of Del Mar, up Goodfellow, and that's a neighborhood that's just rustling, a lot of violence and mess.
Yes, there is, no doubt.
But we want those folks to be able to come, and we want people from Clayton or Ladue or other places to come. And feel safe.
Feel welcome.
That's right. That's what we're shooting for.
I noticed a phrase in your website that says, love your enemy.
Yeah, yeah. That actually comes, well, it's from scripture. But the reason it's there is I had a conversation with a young man in my neighborhood who would have said he was a blood. And my neighborhood is predominantly Crip. And we were having a conversation about he had his weapon and just kind of said he ran with the weapon and his buddies do because they can't get jobs. And my response was just that, well, there's a secret to getting and keeping jobs. And we had a conversation about loving enemies. And he said, I don't even know what that means. And I said, well, if you step out of my door and one of your enemies, a Crip or a guy that looks like me or somebody else that you consider an enemy is standing there, you take your history with me and it counts, but you set it to the side in that moment and you serve me and you treat me out of the moment. And he said, his response was, that's just crazy. So that's why we named it Have a Cow, because don't have a cow. Right. When I was a kid, and I guess Bart Simpson made it popular as well, yeah, right. But it means don't be crazy. Calm down. And so we're saying, well, if loving your enemy is crazy, then have a cow.
Have a cow. Well, now, where does a cattle company come in?
Yeah. So in that same conversation and really coming out of that conversation, I was challenged by some folks to start something that would be a place where people could model loving your enemy and also calling others to love your enemy. And then the second challenge was to do things I had never done. Because as I walked and worked with some of the young men and women running in this neighborhood, his primary kind of charged me was he had no opportunity because he didn't know how to do anything. No one had shown him how to do stuff. And I said, well, you know, you learn. It's not that you can do anything. There's things I can't do, but I can try to do anything. And as you try, that's where you learn. And you fail and you get up and either say, I can't do this, or you try again. And so he challenged me to do things I'd never done. And as I thought about Have a Cow and this whole idea that kind of came together, it really coalesced around cattle. And I've never had cattle, never. I've always lived in cities, big cities. And I've never run or had a restaurant. And so those two ideas kind of came together. I thought, well, heck, I'll raise cattle and bring those cattle, that beef, back to the restaurant for burgers and chili and whatever. And then also the idea was to create as many jobs as possible. So the cattle ranch, the restaurant, we have retail items in the store. We roast our own coffee, and we raise bees for honey, and we sell that honey. And so my original idea was to kind of put people over all of those things. So, yeah, that's how Have a Cow came together and the cattle.
Wow, what a story. The honeybees, where are they? Are they at the restaurant?
So they are now at the restaurant. They were in my backyard up Goodfellow, and that always brought a lot of good comments from my neighbors, like, what the heck? And I have chickens there as well. But I moved those hives out to the farm. So they're out there now.
Now, where is the farm?
The farm is down 44 north of Cuba, Missouri, in a town called Owensville.
Mm-hmm.
We're 10 miles north of Cuba and 10 miles south of Owensville on 19. I have 40 producing females. So when you ask people how many head they have in their herd, you're really asking how many producing females they have.
I see.
But that equates to about 100 animals on the farm.
That's pretty big.
It's bigger than, well, like I said, I've never done it. So I'm having a cow, having a lot of them.
I bet you are. When do you go there every day? Or?
I go there 3 days a week, three or four, and my Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays. I'm out there making sure everyone has what they need to drink and no one's hurt. And,
And who takes care of the place when you're not there? Do you have ranch hands?
No, it's just me. So it's beef, cattle, and you know, they're out grazing. And as long as your fences hold up and you got to keep them off the road.
Well, you're at three different locations, that's for sure. Owensville, Goodfellow. Goodfellow and what? What's the closest?
Goodfellow and Maple. So five blocks north of the Loop.
Yeah,
it's the Etzel-Hodemont neighborhood, and we've been there about 16, 17 years now.
Now, what about the restaurant, the Have a Cow Cattle Company on Lafayette? What is that neighborhood?
That's called the Gate District. Yeah, and it's a beautiful neighborhood. A lot of new architecture buildings coming, and we're one of the first restaurants. There's a couple of other little cafes, and yeah, very exciting.
No, it is exciting to do this. And then when did you start?
So I started the ranch in 2017 and thought, well, heck, I can figure the cattle out in a year or two. And then the idea was to open the restaurant in the end of 19. Well, we all know what happened in 19. As COVID started to come to reality, we were already behind a little bit on our construction project. And then 20, things got bad, and we got way behind. And we didn't get the restaurant open until 2021. So in January of 21, we're coming up on
2 years.
The end of 2 years. Yeah,
wow.
This month.
How do people find out about the place? I mean, I don't even know how I found out about the place. I mean, I have no idea. Do you advertise? Or is it word of mouth?
Yeah, it's really word of mouth. Of course, we have a website, but you got to have the word out there
for
people to go for the website. People started coming in and spreading the word. We've got good Google reviews and Yelp reviews, and We have regular travelers. We're just one block off of 44 and, what, maybe four or five blocks south of 6440?
Yeah, it is a very good location.
So a lot of good connections there and just off of 55 as well. So people that are traveling through, look us up on Yelp or Google. Come in. We have breakfast and lunch.
Oh, what a great breakfast.
Yeah.
The omelets, they're gigantic. And I'll tell you, those hash browns, those cubed hash browns, I used to say that the best ever were at the Tottle Houses. Do you remember Tottle House?
Sure.
There were several locations. Gosh, their hash browns were good. Yours are better.
Well, I love hearing that.
Oh, my gosh. They're wonderful. I tell everybody, get the hash browns, whatever else you get. And then the hamburgers. They're incredibly good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's that all that love that goes into that beef.
How many people work at the restaurant typically?
So I think right now I have about 16 employees. About 16.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And I've never worked as hard as I've worked in a restaurant.
These people work full-time, basically?
The majority work full-time, and then we have some part-timers. We're counter service, so we don't really have waiters and waitresses. The front of the staff just brings your food and buses your table, and the back of the staff provides all the food.
You just come in. There's menus right there. You come up to the counter. Steve, you're usually there.
That's right. I try to be there as much as possible, or Lisa, my wife, and we both our goal is to welcome you and to make sure you have everything you need for a good experience. Our goal is also there's no frou-frou food in that way, but just solid food.
Great. We'll be back in just a few minutes talking about a restaurant that is righting the wrongs of injustice. Now, there is a new concept on KMOX.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
This is the show.
The show continues on KMOX.
With yours truly, Johnny Rabbit. In the studio, we have Steve St-Pierre from Have a Cow Cattle Company. If you missed the address, 2742 Lafayette, the Gate District, he's right between 40 and 44, about a block and a half west of Jefferson. Easy to find. Always, I've found parking around there pretty easy. Every time I've been there. But now you see the tables are all full. You have no more room.
That's right. So parking might be a challenge right this second. But
how many tables do you have?
Let's see. We can seat 74 people.
Inside?
Yeah, inside. That's a good question.
And outside, it's probably, I guess, are you?
Yeah, outside we have really endless seating, but we have a large patio with a little pond and, a really nice space.
We're talking about the philosophy of justice and peace, love, respect, dignity for everybody who comes there, for the staff, the people who work there, for the customers, the entire operation. It's an interesting philosophy. Is there another restaurant that you know of operating under this philosophy?
Well, maybe I would say they all attempt to serve the folks and welcome folks. So maybe it's never necessarily implied, but it's there or it's implied. My whole thing comes out of just working in North St. Louis. I used to work for a not-for-profit. And one of the young men that I met there, he was 12 when I met him. His mother was bedridden. His older 16-year-old brother had just been shot and killed. Mm. And that was his father figure. He didn't know his father. And his brother was running with one of the gangs in the area, and the gang actually came to his house and in that way surrounded this widow and this fatherless boy and told him, hey, we understand your brother paid the rent. Well, now we're going to pay your rent. And I come at this from a Christian standpoint and have said that in a lot of churches that happened. And there's always a collective gasp like, wow, they care for one another.
Right.
And my response, though, is, and they did pay the rent for a few months and then eventually didn't. But my response is, what gang should have been in that household of this woman and her son before this point? If we're the ones that talk about loving enemies, we need to be there. So that justice piece is for me, whether it's in the restaurant or wherever we are, to just bring to expression for others good. And it's that simple. You don't have to tell them your morality. Just bring to expression for people good and serve people. And that's our goal.
That's a great goal, and you're living up to that goal as well. That's that, which is wonderful.
Now, some good days and some bad.
Well, isn't that? That does happen once in a while. Like you saw our construction here. People wouldn't, our listeners wouldn't believe what has gone on, and then not, fortunately, not in the studio side of our operation, but over in the sales and other end of it. I mean, it's total destruction from water main. There are people working, and you have to go through a zipper thing to get in. Oh, it's terrible. So you have to live through the bad.
That's right.
The good is always there somewhere. You have to find it sometime. The menu, now I've talked about hamburgers and omelets and hash browns. What else do people get a lot?
Yeah. Well, our best-selling breakfast is called the Bunkhouse Breakfast, and it's eggs and a choice of meat side and potato. And pancake.
Oh, yes, pancake.
Yeah, and those pancakes are really good.
Gigantic.
They are gigantic, and people love them. Of course, we have a number of different sandwiches. My daughter's actually a vegetarian, so she made sure we had vegetarian options. We have a roasted veggie panini, and we have a chicken sandwich as well. We have huge salads that you can pick 3 or 5 toppings on them and add protein. Just a lot of different options. We have a full coffee bar.
What about the coffee?
Yep. Well, we roast the coffee, and we actually sell our roasted beans. I think it's delicious.
I bet it is. And what about tea? You have a lot of different types of tea.
Yeah. So we get our tea from a company out of Alabama. But they have a number of different teas, and it's really good.
Suzanne Corbett has just arrived. Have a seat, Suzanne. Hey, she's
hi,
just
Suzanne.
Here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'd like to introduce you to. You have not met?
No, we haven't met.
Oh, that's Steve St-Pierre. This is Suzanne Corbett.
Nice to meet you, sir.
And you talk about food. Isaiah's fantastic. When it comes to food in St. Louis, well, you got to go to Suzanne Corbett. Not just for good dining places, but also you teach. You teach cooking, I assume?
I teach. I do foodways interpretation. I write about food. I travel for food. And better yet, I love to eat.
Me too.
That makes a difference.
That's right. Now, if I remember right, it's Have a Cow, is
Have
that?
Have a Cow Cattle Company, yep.
Oh, boy, I love my cows, particularly steers, medium rare, and
that's
on my
right.
plate with or without horseradish sauce.
Medium rare is the right choice.
Well, you know, most of the time I like rare, but if I'm feeling a little more genteel, I'll order medium rare. Yes, sir.
So now you've got to go to the restaurant sometime.
Yes, I do.
They're there every day but Sunday.
Great.
7 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Well, I'm hungry, so maybe I'll roll out of here and go down the street.
Sounds
good. And it's
good.
Not that far. It really, you know, it's
8 minutes from here.
From downtown. I mean, it's a very convenient location, which is really great. It's not, and it's in the city, which I think is very nice, too. You could have gone elsewhere, could have gone out of the city or somewhere else. Suzanne, what is your favorite place to eat right now? Do you have a favorite, like right now? If I had to go to the best place that I really wanted to go to, do you have one in mind?
Oh, my goodness. It depends on what I'm hungry for.
What are you hungry for right now?
What am I hungry for right now? Well, right now, a burger sounds pretty good because I'm talking to a beef man here.
Well, there you go.
A beef burger sounds really, really good. It just depends. You know, sometimes I'm craving a hot dog. It's hard to beat a ballpark hot dog. Chicken, Hodak's. My goodness, you can't beat that. And Southern also. I love just anything I can put on my plate.
Ah, that's
and
good.
I love to discover new restaurants that embrace old-style food, comfort food, classic foods, foods you kind of forgot about are just not as trendy. But I'm seeing those trends are coming back for the old kind of stuff that grandma, or in most cases now great-grandma, made.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And it is coming back. Well, we'll talk more with you, Suzanne, in just a few minutes. Suzanne Corbett will be our next guest on the show. This is Johnny Rabbit. Oh, and I forgot to ask you, Steve, about the retail items. What kind of retail items are at the Havoc
Con? The original idea was kind of have a urban farm store, sell beehives and chicken coops and things like that. But that's been harder to find during this time of COVID. So we have candles and a lot of wild bird seeds and houses and feeders and T-shirts and just a lot of kind of country-ish looking stuff. People compare us to Cracker Barrel, which I don't necessarily love or or dislike. I like Cracker Barrel, but I would say that we're not really a Cracker Barrel.
No.
Just a few items here and there.
Well, that's great. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you, Suzanne. We'll see you in a few minutes. I'll be down to see you soon, Steve, at the place. It's 2742 Lafayette. You are welcome, and thanks so much for being here on the show. This is Johnny Rabbit. We're here at KMOX today. Amy and Chris are not here. Suzanne Corbett is here, and Ed Wheatley is going to be along a little later on, around 11:30 or so, to talk about sports in St. Louis. Not just today's sports, but sports of the past. We'll talk about the St. Louis Browns fan club, which is very active, and the Hall of Fame luncheon coming up at the MAC. This is KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker. Presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.